Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
Hello, kids. This is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison, and every Thursday we release these special episodes where we look back at content from our earlier years, sometimes single stories, sometimes whole episodes. Keep in mind that years ago, people might have worded things differently than they would today. As always, the title of the whole series, Risk, is itself a content warning. This week, a story that the legendary feminist sex educator Betty Dodson, author of the bestseller Sex for One, and someone who throughout the 60s and 70s, 80s, 90s, she was someone who was never afraid of causing controversy. We lost Betty last year at the age of 91. But she is still a guiding light and an inspiration. So without further ado, here is Betty Dodson now with a story we call Hot Lips.
I'll hold it.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
I always want to hold it. I masturbate, but I'm not dumb. Okay. I'm not a professional... anything other than a professional masturbator. I'm actually an educator, and I've been doing it for nearly 50 years. And I've all of a sudden, in the last year, I'm famous. I'm not rich, but I'm famous. So I just want you to know that at 85, I'm an overnight success. And as far as being embarrassed, I mean, the minute I wrote the book and I had to say the name to a cab driver, he said, "What's the name of your book?" And I said, "Liberating Masturbation." He plowed right into the car in front of him. Just another day in New York, Betty. But I want to tell you about one of my most humiliating moments that was a mind-blowing opening for me that got me started being a sex educator. I'm 10 years old, I'm out in Wichita where I grew up, and my little girlfriend and I were talking about where babies came from, and her daddy was a doctor, so she knew everything. She had, "There's a hole down there between your legs," and I said, "There is not." I knew I had a poop hole, but she said, "No, there's another one where the baby comes out of." So I decided one afternoon, the house was empty, and I got my mother's mirror and I propped it up, and the sunlight was coming through the window, and I get down, and I open up, I split my little beaver, and oh my God, there were these things hanging down that looked like the things from a chicken. Well, obviously, I had stretched them from so much childhood masturbation. I mean, I knew that I did it all the time, and I had a mother that was smart enough to not interfere with her kids. So I lived through my adulthood until I'm recently divorced. I'm 35. I'm an accomplished artist. I've had an exhibition, and I'm a good one. I'm not an abstract nutcase. I have mastered the classical nude, and I mean good. Put myself through 4 years of art school on scholarships, married 7 years to a premature ejaculator. So I could continue my habit, masturbating. And it worked out for me because I spent most of my time in my studio. And besides that, he was making a lot of money. Now, I get divorced because now I think I want to have partner sex again. And I start dating this guy, and he was a professor at New York University. The man was fucking brilliant. He'd read absolutely every book that was ever written on sex. I mean, if we were just to educate ourselves. So we've been dating, we've had sex. The way I used to have an orgasm was to get on top and manipulate so that I could get my clit into some action. And I could do it if he could keep an erection for 10, 15 minutes. Now, you go out there and try to find that today, ladies. 15 minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, boom, over and out. So this one time, we've had marvelous sex. I've had a couple of orgasms. And he said, you know, honey, you have my favorite kind of pussy. And I think he said cunt. And I said, oof, I don't like that word. You have my favorite kind of cunt. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, it's my favorite style. And I went, style? Oh, he's sicker than I thought. And so he said, would you mind if I turned on the light? And he reaches over and puts his glasses on it, starts to turn the light on. He said, oh, I said, no, no, no. And I start crying. I'm so mortified. He'll find out. Now, he's just been down there giving me a blowjob, and I'm, you know, but you're not looking when you're doing that, are you? No. You're licking and sucking and, oh. So he turns on the light, and I'm crying, and he says, honey, what's the matter? And I said, I'm genitally deformed. He said, what are you talking about? I stretch my inner lips from childhood masturbation. He looked at me like I was insane, and he said, what are you talking about? Well, I said, those things hanging down, I know that's not normal, and I stretched them, and he said, Betty, please, now mind you, I'm 35, I've studied art in Paris, I lived in New York City, I am a sophisticated woman, and I don't know shit about sex. I don't know anything about my own sex organ. We don't get taught anything in this country. If anything, they scare you to death. So he said, please. He gets up, he goes into the closet. He's recently divorced. He's been sneaking his Split Beaver magazines and beaten off for the last 10 years. And he brings them out and he spreads them on the bed and he says, look, and he starts turning the page. He says, there, she has that. Now in the 60s, this is where it was healthier. All of the images of female genitals, there was a variety. Now we have cookie cutters. Porn has made seen to it that all of the little pussies are like clamshells. There's nothing sticking beyond the outer. That's why all the young girls today are getting vaginoplasty. They go to the doctor and they have their inner lips cut off because that's what the porn stars do. And one more step, they have their little assholes bleached and then dyed pink. So, and oh, and boobs. They get the boob job and the blonde, you know, you've seen them. So, more than you should have. Now, so I'm looking and I'm going, oh, that's, yes, yes, and I start to get it. They're all different. They are all different. And mine is represented. And so it's like I'm going, oh, and I think, I'd been going to see a therapist for 2 years and it hadn't made a dent in my fear of being genitally deformed. And that really started my career as an educator. And I haven't stopped and I'm not going to stop. And so I just want all of you to know that your sex organ is not a vagina. Don't buy into that crap. That's the birth canal. The proper name would be a vulva. And let me point something else out. Do you ever hear the word clitoris? Do you ever see it written? Does anybody ever talk about it? That is our primary sex organ. That is the female phallus. And they keep trying, oh, now they have the G-spot, so you get back inside. And I hope you're not excited because you like to do that. Idiot. It's the clitoris. It's up there on top. Got it? Yeah, whatever's going on inside of the vaginal canal, that's fine. You work your PC muscle, but it's clit stim, kids. So this man was brilliant. Whenever I wanted to have an orgasm, I masturbated by stimulating my clitoris. And whenever I had partner sex, I tried to come from vaginal intercourse. Oh, the myth of the vaginal orgasm, it's like a heavy cloud over all the women. And guys, I'm telling you, we're faking you out right and left. You know, you're so into that dick down there that we go, ooh, ooh. Oh, I brought that one home. Yeah, man. So we have a lot to learn, and we have a lot to teach, and my workshops are brilliant, and I never thought I would do it. I wore my hip joints out doing the body sex groups and up and down off the floor. And then, I don't know, in my 60s, I went and got hip replacement. Now they're titanium. So I'm doing it again, and my image and my commitment is we're also certifying women to run these groups. So I am going to send an army of orgasmic women out into the world.
That's all for this week's Classic Risk Singles episode. Now, don't miss out on our regular full-length episodes. There's a brand new one every Tuesday. And everything you might want to know about us is at risk-show.com.